Yes, everybody, welcome back. My name is Stephen Howson. This is Stretford Paddock. This is Howson's homebrew. Hope you've all got a brew with you. I'm having a tea. Today, joined by Jay and by Alex. What's happening, brothers?
All right, mate. Good, good. You're good. You coping okay?
No. Not. It's getting boring now, isn't it? About 3-4 times over the weekend.
Really? It's not like you say. Yeah.
No, I know. I'm such a calm, collected individual, generally. There was a man in the petrol station before that I nearly fucking murdered. Which, I'm going to be honest.
Go on.
It's an overreaction.
What was he doing? Getting petrol or something?
No,
it
was...
Did he take the last Red Bull? Was that what it was?
No, but it started at the Red Bull section, right? Oh, so I'm standing at the Red Bull section, selecting the 355 special, Rosso Toro, yeah. Right? And guy comes and just stands in my space, like, and I had to look at him like, are you fucking serious right now? Didn't get the hint, so I moved, went and started trying to look at some chicken, right? And I'm looking at the chicken, and he comes and stands in my space again. And now I give him a... Because you can't straight away call him a cunt, can you, usually?
No.
Got to get three chances before you call him a cunt.
Yeah, right? I think that's only fair.
So then, where did I go then? I went on the other side of the shop. I was near the water bottles. And now I'm just thinking, like... And then I saw him start to walk towards me, and I was like, fuck this shit, right? I'm going to go pay for my shit and leave. Then I got distracted on the way by cake. And he got into the queue in front of me, right? So I'm standing behind him in the queue at my 2-meter mark on the spot. And they've got like an in and out thing on the queue just so you don't brush past people. Guess what he tried to do?
Brush past you.
He didn't look at the one-way system that's been enacted in the BP petrol station and instead tries to brush past me and I went, are you fucking kidding? And then he went, oh yeah. And then walked the other way around. Oh, fucking hell, mate. Anyway, how's you?
Compared to you, I'm actually rosy, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, but do you know what?
I hate people.
I'm still in the honeymoon period, I think.
Really?
I'm still getting on with my children. We've not killed each other. Me and my partner haven't killed each other yet. It's been all right. Do you know what I mean? I think for some reason, the novelty's not wore off yet. It soon will, don't worry. But yeah, it's not been too bad.
I don't know how.
We've got a trampoline as well, which has helped.
All right, cool.
No, I didn't do anything on Saturday and kind of felt bad about, like, properly nothing. Like, didn't move for the... And then I went, well, what else can I do? You can't do fucking anything.
People are getting mad at people for not, like, learning how to play the guitar or speak Spanish already, aren't they?
I know, man. Come on. Do you know what I mean? Like,
before we get any deeper into this, I do have to say our deepest condolences to Pep Guardiola's mother and Pep Guardiola and his family. She's been taken by this twat of a disease, a virus with the Rona. So rivalries aside, and you know, I think people go too far and too soft with the way they treat rivals and stuff at the moment. But at times like this, rivalries don't mean anything. Condolences to Pep and his family. Let's hope that nobody else gets taken from this fucker. But I do feel like we are going to be seeing plenty more. And condolences to everybody who's lost someone out there as well, because we've got people in our own team that have lost people already. So let's hope that we can get out of this properly. And stay inside, you bastards. Stop fucking going out. Too many people out still, isn't there?
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you just said, mate. You know, well said. And yeah, there are. I mean, I get people have to go out. I've been out. You've got to shop. You've got to eat. You can't order things online. And, you know, unless you've been hoarding food for the last 6 months, you are going to have to go and buy shopping and, you know, at least get some fresh air and stuff like that. But it's common sense. You know, some of the pictures you're seeing of just hordes of people picnicking and sunbathing is just, it's piss boiling, to say the least. Especially when you're then seeing pictures of like NHS workers who haven't got the equipment they need, they're worried, they're working long hours, and they're literally just tweeting like, you know, just stay at home, and people just aren't getting it. And you think, come on, man, just wake up. Literally, you know, stay at home. How hard is that? Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying go climb a mountain, go and dig a massive hole. Just sit on your couch and watch telly and eat crap. Nice one. Happy days. Yeah. I'll do that as long as you want me to. Not an issue, believe me.
Was you a hero during the coronavirus? I was. What did you do? I put 3 stone on.
That's what I mean. It's the easiest way to be a hero. Do you know what I mean? Like, I watched 7 box sets back to back. Yeah. Mint. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, people are struggling with it, and it's...
And that's it. People are like saying, well, I'll be fine, or I'll get over it, or, you know, I'll be okay. But it's not that. It's the fact that if you get it because you've done something stupid, then you don't feel the symptoms, and you go to the shop, and then that old lady's in the shop at the same time, and then she gets it, all these 10 other people get it. Just stay inside. Like, do what... Avoid people as much as you can. Do it as little as you can.
That's it. Like, it's not about you. Like, all of us, generally in, like, fairly healthy condition, probably ride it out. Probably feel a bit shit for a few days. It's not about us. Here's the thing. Stop being selfish. It isn't about us. It's about the vulnerable people in society. For a change, stop thinking about your fucking self. Stop thinking about getting a fucking tan. Stop thinking about hanging with your mates. And just fucking stay inside and watch Netflix like the rest of the fucking planet is doing.
Exactly.
It's easy. It's well easy. Fuck's sake.
It's an excuse not to see anyone. It's great.
Joe, I had a belting idea the other day. I was going to drive out of Ben's with a little six-pack of Heineken, and I thought, oh, yeah, go on, drive around, have a few beers, and then, oh, yeah, I'd have to drive back. That's a bad idea, isn't it? I was just going to sit on a drive and have a few beers, and I was like, nah, I can't do that. Yeah, I thought I had a good idea. For about a minute, I was like, this is a fucking cracking idea. And I was like,
is it a long walk?
Yeah, too long a walk, yeah. I mean, if it's not next door, it's too long a fucking walk. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. Right, there is a topic for today's video. Well, fuck me, how did that happen? And, well, fuck me, how did that happen is the theme of this topic as well, because the Glazers have apparently had a PR success. How did that happen? How much have other clubs fucked up to everyone being going like, well, the Glazers have been sound, actually?
No, you're right. I mean, the Glazers have had a few open goals recently that they've scored the tap-ins with. You know, the refund for the LASK game, freezing season ticket prices. You know, these are open goals, so I'm not about to go, oh, well, you know, they might have bled our club dry.
They're doing what they should have done.
They're
doing the right thing.
You don't get any
expected to do that. It's like, sweet.
Yeah, exactly. But now it's like with the whole furlough thing and the way other clubs have gone, other clubs who supposedly have all these socialist values. And then the Glazers have just gone, well, we don't do that. So United are coming out of this looking okay. I mean, it doesn't change the fact that the Glazers are horrible bastards and we all want them to leave our club alone and go away. But in this scenario, they've got it right. And I think that's more a testament to how other clubs have got it so drastically wrong.
Yeah. Drastically wrong.
I mean, I think there's definitely been a reaction to that. I think even if they were half contemplating after thing, I think the way that all the stuff about the other clubs has come out, I think everyone's just kind of gone, no, we need to do this if we were even contemplating it. So, because I mean, you can't. I mean, in the situations they're in, especially the way they've done it, where it's non-playing staff and your players are still getting paid, you're just like all these different things. You're like, what's going on here? And
you see the geezer that I retweeted it over the weekend, someone put something like, any Premier League team that furloughs staff should be put on a transfer ban for one window.
Oh, yeah. You know what, Georgie? I think Georgie Bingham on TalkSport was saying this as well. I might be misremembering, but I think she said something like that, or someone else did. Yeah. No, I mean, it's more or less just makes you not furlough your staff, doesn't it? That's all that does. No one's going to go, oh, right, okay, then we'll take the ban.
How do you justify buying a £50 million left winger when you furloughed a load of people on 18 grand a year?
It's really weird. And it's like, I can't believe that no one, before they've done it, has said to them, this is going to have a massive backlash and it's not worth the money you're going to save. Because you've had all these like ex-pros and people affiliated with let's say as it is, the Scousers. People have been coming out like Jamie Carragher and people like that, saying, oh, I can't believe you've done this and, blah, 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 and all the rest of it. You amaze someone in their PR department and go, we can't do this. We can't be taking money, this club, and taking money off the Tories for starters. After we've just announced record profits, it's going to go down like fucking lead balloon. Let's just not do this. And that hasn't happened and it's gone through and it's just like, now they're getting all this sort of backlash from it and having to do a bit of a U-turn. I think, I don't know what's going on at the minute. I don't know if they have done a U-turn, but I expect them to.
Yeah, I think there'll be a statement coming out today, actually. I would be shocked if a statement doesn't come out today on the back of that, actually. You know, they announced record profits. They're owned by a billionaire. You know, even if it's 200 staff, it's like two players' weekly wage. That's it.
Yeah. They literally could have said the players will make a donation to cover costs for the next 2 months or something. It could be done. I reckon mean, there's nothing stopping that from happening.
Come on. If you can't afford to pay your fucking catering department or your ticket office, you shouldn't have Virgil van Dijk. You know what I mean? You shouldn't have the players you've got in the mixer for it. Like, you just shouldn't. It's as simple as that. And I don't want to bring this into a bash Liverpool thing, as much as I enjoy that, but they're the most surprising one. Spurs, I'm a little bit surprised at as well, to be honest. Although I know that they're hurting for cash a little bit on the back of the stadium. And supposedly prior to all of this, Jose was told, wasn't he, you're not going to have much in the summer. So you can kind of understand them a little bit more. Newcastle, no still, one was surprised at. As soon as this became a thing, Mike Ashley was like, fucking sign me up for a bit of that. Yeah. No problem.
Hell yeah.
But Liverpool, I think, like you said, Liverpool is a team that supposedly has these crazy socialist values. This means more, blah, 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 blah. So I think the reason it's big news and the reason that is a big reaction to it is because it was a bit of a shock that Liverpool did that as a football club. Especially, it's also a shock to see the likes of Jamie Carragher coming out and publicly. Like, Liverpool have got this weird relationship with some of their ex-players that United just don't have. Like, United players have been openly extremely critical, from Roy Keane to Scholes to any of them that have worked in the media, and there's a lot of them. You never get that. You've never seen Tomo complain about anything Liverpool did. Even when they were shit, they just deludedly thought they were good still. You never saw any of the vast number of Liverpool players and ex-players that they had in the media ever say anything bad about the club. So when the likes of Jamie Carragher are coming out and going, you're fucked up here, I think it shows just quite how badly they've fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, they're a club, in many ways, there's certain aspects of it with Liverpool. You can respect the way they fight for things and they circle the wagons. Certain aspects, like the way they fought for the Hillsborough Justice. You know, no matter what your football affiliation is, I can admire that, because they had to wait a long time and they didn't give up. And, they fought the Tories all the way and they got the justice they deserved. But then you look at other sides to it, the whole Everest scenario where it's like, we're sticking together, we're not backing down. And you think, no, that's wrong. So you're right. I do think they've always had that sort of mentality of circling the wagons and stuff like that. So when you see the likes of Jamie Carragher, who's probably one of the most prominent ex-Liverpool players, obviously the platform he's got on social media and on Sky, almost immediately coming out and criticising it. And especially after all the goodwill that Liverpool have been building up, Jordan Henderson organising or trying to organise players getting together to make donations or whatever, Jurgen Klopp making a statement everyone respected. It's just a complete, it's just shooting themselves in the foot. It really is, because all that goodwill that you've been gathering from fans that might not necessarily like you, you've just almost erased it all, because now people as well have got an excuse. They have. They've got an excuse to go, look at the Scousers after all that. They can't, same old thing. And that's why, it's really surprised me. They've not been more savvy, because you think with their owners as well, the experience they've got, not just at Liverpool, but with Boston Red Sox and stuff like that, they'd have that savviness, for want of a better word, where they know how this is going to play out, they know how it's going to look, and they know for whatever money they save, it ain't going to be worth it. So to go down this route has really surprised me. And I think that, as I said earlier, when you've got the Glazers, who everyone knows are horrible owners, and even they're not doing it, that should tell you something.
Yeah, when we've got £500-600 million worth of debt hanging over our heads, and one of our lads is also a steward at United. They told him, like, the day the Premier League got cancelled, I'm sure, or if it wasn't the day, it was the day after. It was well fast, whenever it was, that, hey, by the way, you're getting your money for the rest of the season. And that's fucking ace.
Yeah,
we rightly criticise the Glazers for things that are rightly worth criticising. So I think it's only fair that we go, do you know what? We hate you, but that was good. Fair play.
I just hope that... I know this is sort of wishful thinking, but me and you spoke about this before, Steve, about the Glazers maybe realising there is a way to have their cake and eat it. Now, they're not going away anytime soon. I wish they would, but I don't think they are. I don't think anyone's going to come in with the money it's going to take to buy Manchester United. But there is a way that if they are going to stick around, they spend money the right way and they do the right things, then they don't have to have this sort of constant war. Because the problem is with the Glazers, they have spent money, they spend it the wrong way. They don't back a manager properly. Ed Woodward's got too much control. Then they're taking out money when they shouldn't be. They're not spending money when they should. If they actually got their heads together and thought, you know what? We can spend money the right way. We can still keep seeking these dividends, which annoys me, but, that's what's going to happen. And we can still stay competitive and challenge for the top honours. And everyone can be happy. but they just never, they've never understood that, the Glazers. That's the most frustrating thing. It's not just the fact that they're horrible and they're taking all this money. It's the fact that they've never worked out a way of spending money in the right way to sort of do that and still make United competitive. Because if you look at the money we've spent, it's not we haven't spent money. It's just we've wasted a lot of it. And then we've taken out money when we should have been putting money in. And that's the problem that you've got with the Glazers. You've just been proper thick about it.
I do think in the past 12 months, though, there has been a little bit of a shift towards things. You know, I think they have been, the money just, I mean, transfers in general has been better. You know, it's been a more structured plan. It's been spending on what seems to be better players. And it seems like, you know, there's a longer term project to it all. So maybe this is just a continue on of that a little bit, where they have kind of gone, right, we need to have a sit back. We need to go back to a few of the core values that got United to where it was. And maybe that there is a bit of a change. You can't defend them because they've been shocking for so long now. And, you know, you look back now, I mean, when you start digging into, I think the way that the Mourinho end was, and the way that they kind of went, do you know what? This is not only just hurting the players on the pitch and the fans that go into matches and stuff like that. It's going to start impacting everything. I think the fact that they kind of thought, look, Mourinho's coming, and that was the guaranteed win. That was the one that was going to win us something. That was the one that was going to get us, because that was the whole thing about Mourinho. I did a bit of, for one of my degrees, I did a bit of research on what their marketing plan was for it all. And they kind of went, we have the most marketable manager in the world, with the most marketable team, with all the best social media platforms. We've got players like Alexis Sanchez. And this is literally out of their corporate book, was all these different things that they were saying. And then that kind of failed. And now they haven't got that. And now that the players that they've got aren't the most marketable players and all that kind of things. And you're like, do you know what? This could have an impact on shirt sales. This could have an impact on where our sponsorships are going, you know, and all these different things. I think they've kind of gone, do you know what? We need to, this isn't going to be something where we can pump money into it and it'd be short term. I think the only way we fix this now is strip it back and start again. I think that's what happened at the end of the Mourinho thing, is they went, yeah, we can't do that again. We can't try and throw money at this short term.
I don't think you can underestimate it as well. I don't want to turn this into the Liverpool podcast, but when the Scousers have started winning things or challenging for things, they've got that marketability and that global fan base where they can almost take money off United in a way City or Chelsea, when they're winning things, couldn't, you know, the sort of the fans in America, you saw it yourself, Steve, you've seen it as well, mate, when you've been over there, or you've seen it when we played Liverpool. It was almost split, the amount of United fans and the amount of Liverpool fans in Chicago, wherever it was. You wouldn't get that with City, or you wouldn't get that with Arsenal or Chelsea when they were winning things. So for Liverpool to start winning trophies, to have this team that is a very popular team amongst their fans, is entertaining. It's a worry if you're looking at it from a financial point of view. You think, hang on a minute, United aren't winning things anymore. Well, not challenging for the title anymore. You've got this club with a massive fan base who are attracting some of the fans that maybe would have been coming to us. You're going to have problems, and you know the money tree isn't going to live forever. So I think maybe that as well has made him rethink this. Not to mention as well, some of the, I mean, I don't think that the fan initiatives have had a massive impact, but I think they'll have been looking at it thinking the fans are starting to get restless again. Mm. You know, it's going to start affecting bums on seats and shirt sales. We need to do something. So I think all those things mixed together, you know, it might have made him have a bit of a shift. I'm not overly optimistic, but there is a bit of cautious optimism there that maybe we can see some thoughtfulness by them, not this brain-deaded attitude they've had ever since he took over.
Come in the comments here. It says, we've seen what Abramovich has done. Full salaries promised to be paid until everyone goes back to work. Hotel open for all hospital staff completely free, and travel for NHS staff as well. Fair play.
Exactly. Abramovich is either the most sort of morally virtuous guy, but he's getting an easy win there, isn't he? You know what I mean? No, let's not, you know, I don't know how big your legal team is, Steve, but I'll end it there for that one. But
to be fair, it's pretty sizable.
All right, okay, then, in that case, yeah, he's a horrible crook. But you know, that's an easy win for him in terms of how much that's costing him from his fortune. It's pennies. And now people are giving him a bit of positive publicity for it. And rightly so, because when he's done something like that, you've got to say fair play to him. So, easy wins.
I also think that maybe someone's realised that actually, if you're just a good football team, a lot of the shit that you're going to get goes away. And a lot, like, as it does, there's a lot of fair weather fans that would flip-flop from one thing to the next. and will be outraged when you're not successful, and they will quieten down if you are successful. Maybe they've realized that certain sponsorships are going to go away. Maybe they've realized that actually just coming top four is going to be way more difficult than they first anticipated, with so many teams being able to fight for that sort of thing. I don't know. I don't know the long-term game, but I wonder what was the killing point where it flipped over. Maybe it was Jose, you know, because Sir Alex walked out of here with like a negative net spend. Like, he actually made money on transfers. If you look at the period prior to the Glazers coming in, from being the treble winners in 99, bringing in Varon, Rude, Rio Ferdinand, Wayne Rooney, we absolutely blew cash all over the gaff, trying to become the team that we became in 2008. That was the start of that. They didn't invest anything from 2005 when they took over. May 2005, they took over. Who did we sign that summer? Was that the summer we signed Kleberson?
When was that? 2009?
Five.
Oh, 2005. Yeah, wasn't that when we went...
Kleberson and Ronaldo was...
Was that the Djemba twins time?
Either way, it was around then, wasn't it? We were signing Alan Smiths and we were signing people like that. And it wasn't until Michael Carrick that we really had a proper signing. And then we brought in Nani and Anderson and Owen Hargreaves. And then we started doing some bits. But they weren't huge signings. They were second-tier signings, really. They were successful, but they weren't Rio Ferdinand, Varon, Ruud van Nistelrooy, yeah, Wayne Rooney. And we didn't sign any players of that sort of ilk until post-Fergie. And we didn't sign any of those until post-Moyes, really. Louis van Gaal and Jose Mourinho got those sorts of players. Solskjaer's also got those sorts of players in Harry Maguire, at least, and probably in Bruno in the end as well. But the strategy seems to have flip-flopped a little bit, like the managers have flip-flopped a little bit. And I think this is where a director of football comes in that has some actual power, that takes away football responsibilities away from Ed Woodward. I'm not even 100% sure he's as good financially as people are saying, because if you was that good financially, you would have seen the lack of investment we were getting on the pitch was going to yield in making less and less income. If United had gone on and built on the 2008 European Cup win and not sold Cristiano Ronaldo, if we'd have resisted that, I don't even know if that was possible, but if we'd have resisted that or found the next Ronaldo in 2008 rather than go 12 years without having a player that comes close to that, they might have made 10 times the money. The club might be worth 20 billion. Like, it seems like shit business sense to me to have a product that's not worth as much as it could have been, because they could have easily sold that to some, Saudi Arabian or Russian oil baron by now for some crazy amounts of money. If we'd have gone and done what Real Madrid have just done and won like three or four Champions Leagues in 5 or 6 years, are you telling me that United wouldn't be like the most prized football club in the world? Because it absolutely would have been. Absolutely, if we'd have been on 25 to 30 titles instead of 20, and we'd have had a handful more European Cups, are you telling me that we're only worth 4 billion? We're worth 4 billion and we've been shit for 7 years. Seven years, it's nearly a decade.
Well, I had this with someone who tried to say, oh, Fergie towards the end didn't leave it with the squad, and I said, look back at it from when Fergie first came in. He broke transfer records all the way through. Constantly. All the way through the 90s, all the way through the 2000s, and then it just stopped. And people go, oh, well, he bought Berbatov and he signed them under that. I'm like, yeah, but he bought Berbatov and Ronaldo was already out the door. Like, the Ronaldo deal was done and dusted that summer. They knew they were going to make 90 million or 80 million the summer after. And they spent nothing of that money. And then they signed little bits. And then people, there's one comment there saying Van Persie was 24 million on a 30-year-old.
That was an injured player.
That was nothing compared to, especially at this point when City had signed six of them. City had signed Aguero, Silva, Nasri, Torre, all for around the same. Their full squad was Van Persie's price. It wasn't like we were breaking transfer fees. And only now, like you said, now that they've really panicked with it all, I think Moyes, they kind of restricted it. They thought, oh, no, we'll see how this goes. It should be all right. I think there was a bit there. But I think at the same time, I think everyone was kind of going, look, you've got a title-winning squad there. It can't be that bad. And then it was. And then they just gone mad since then. Van Gaal come in and bought 100 players and all of them have gone, and then Mourinho kind of done the same thing. But there hasn't been a plan, and it's all been a lot of it's been, you can have that money, but you've got to sell X, Y, and Z still. You know, even this summer, you know, they sold Lukaku first before all that kind of got going again. And even under Mourinho, you know, they sold players like, even under Van Gaal, I mean, they sold Di Maria, you know, they sold them kind of players. It's very rare that they had a big spend in the summer. There's only one or two summers that they really not had a big spend.
This to me feels like the first time post-Fergie that foundations are being laid, proper foundations. And I think, you know, Alex and Steve, you've both mentioned it yourselves on various podcasts, that we've even argued that maybe the next manager benefits the most from what Ollie's doing. Yeah. But you can feel that if a manager was to take over from Ollie, he wouldn't do what Ollie... When Ollie came in, he dropped Lukaku, dropped Sanchez, two of the biggest signings from the previous regime. You know, when Jose came in, he got rid of Schweinsteiger. You know, a new manager's always come in and had to get rid of certain players. But I feel with Ollie, he's but the players he's brought in, you know, a new manager wouldn't, taking over now, wouldn't drop Maguire or Aaron Wan-Bissaka. He wouldn't drop Bruno. These are players that are going to be playing for Manchester United for at least the next 4 or 5 years, hopefully longer, especially in the case of Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And also the youngsters that Ollie's bringing through, the likes of Mason Greenwood, Brandon Williams. Is there any doubt that these aren't going to be around for a good few years? You know, there's real foundations being laid here at the minute. Now, that might be luck rather than design. That might be just Ollie's approach rather than a new strategy from the Glazers or Ed Wood or whatever. But I do feel like there is a more long-term feeling around it. Whereas in the past, you know, the one thing you're going to get with Jose Mourinho is instant success. The thing you ain't going to get is long-term planning. He doesn't do that. He comes in, he spends lots of money for players that are ready to go right now, and he wins things immediately. And he kind of did that. But now with Ole, I do get the feeling that there is more of a long-term thing. And we have that squad and that team that can go on for a few more years with the right addition. You feel like we're going to be there or thereabouts, which again leads back to my original point of the Glazers can actually have the cake and eat it if they stop being fucking stupid, where they don't have to go out and spend hundreds of millions of pounds. They just have to spend the right money in the right way. I mean, don't get me wrong, they do have to spend quite a bit of money. But with some of the young players we've got and the squad we've already got, it's not that difficult to make the right signings and to challenge and to still keep taking the fucking dividend that you keep taking. You know, you can do all those things.
Yeah, Ryan Stevens in the comments there, he says, Ole putting the club before himself. I think that's what Ole has done, actually. Because, I don't think any other manager allows the amount of players to leave that left in the summer and only bring in three. And only two of them definitely being first choice at the time. There's no way a manager does that. You've lost three minimum first choice players and technically the club captain as well has gone. And there's not a prayer any manager does that knowing, because you've just fucked him, essentially. No manager does that just acceptingly. So I think Ollie he's even been given the nod, like, you'll get the time because we're going in a different direction, which I'd love to think is the case, but I don't trust that'll be the case. And they're going to go with him for his long-term plan, in which case, awesome. I can't wait to see what that looks like in 2 to 3 years. No manager can turn it around quicker than that. So why do we sack Van Gaal after 2 seasons? You know, Jose might be different because I think Jose, like I said, he isn't a long-term guy. He is the short-term guy. And when it doesn't work short-term, well, you've got no evidence it's going to work in the long-term. At least with Louis, you could. At least with Ole, technically you could, although, yes, it was Norwegian League and the circumstances are entirely different. But fundamentally, the job of a manager should be to motivate and manage the personalities within a squad. And I don't think the level is necessarily that different. You bring in different players. And as we were saying, in terms of, like, it's recruitment. Recruitment trumps everything else. You can have the best tactical book in the world, but if you've got 10 bits of wood, well, you're not going to fucking be able to pull it out, are you? Recruitment's key. And I think if Ollie gets the right players, I believe in him tactically. And I think if more than anything else, it feels enjoyable watching this football team again.
100%.
And I think that's huge.
I think as well, I mean, listen, I get it. We've all got bigger things on our mind than football. And there's been, you know, some real tragedies as we've been speaking about as to what's happened. But from a football, from purely from a football point of view, it was a shame that the season ended where it ended for Ollie, because I think he was beginning to sort of, it was beginning to take shape for him. We were on a great run. I think it was 11 when it unbeaten. Bruno would come in, hit the ground running. Martial was firing him in. We were getting clean sheets. Defensively looked sound. And I genuinely think there was a, I think we would have got top four. I think we would have. And I think had we got top four, then the pressure that Ollie's under, it's not, doesn't, you know, it's not all eradicated, because you're always going to be under pressure as Manchester United manager, especially with Ollie, the CV he came in with. He was always sort of had a small section of the fans on his back, no matter what. But it would have bought him time, and people would have been thinking, hang on a minute, maybe he's doing something here. You know, we're getting into Champions League, we're winning games, you know, we've got a young squad, the signings he's made are working, the players that he's got rid of, we're not really missing. And I think from that point of view, from a football point of view, it's a real shame for Ollie, because I think we were looking in good shape to at least get top four, maybe even not win a trophy as well, which would have made it a great season.
Joe, can I just give you something that I know you're going to fucking love, Jay?
Go on, mate.
Are you ready for this?
Go on.
John Barnes has backed Liverpool's decision.
No.
He can't have done.
He fucking has done.
Does John Barnes realise that it's not just black people this is affecting? Because usually whatever it is, he always blames black people, doesn't he, for it? Right. It's like, you know. Yeah.
Let me get the... I'll get it out here. So he's done like a little live. In terms of the myth that football teams are awash with money... Hang on, I can't get it all out. I'll try and read this out. And that they're just holding all this money back and their staff are being furloughed. That is not the case. On the face of it, you may think it doesn't look good. Obviously, because the companies are awash with money, one may assume, but this is a strategy that the government have offered.
Oh my God.
Now, if the government then say to companies that who can afford it and who aren't eligible to do it, they haven't, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they've offered it to every company, basically.
He's the gift that keeps on giving, innit? Do you know what I mean?
He comes out with the maddest shit. Honestly. Like anything, if it just says John Barnes has said, just instantly start thinking that Neil Warnock gif and be like, oh no. What's he said?
What's he done this time?
If you started the conversation with, you know, Hitler was a real bad bastard, wasn't he? You'd have John Barnes go, well, hang on a minute. Do you know what? There's a counter argument here. It's like, John, you don't have to do the opposing view all the time.
You don't have to be like, I like the devil's advocate sometimes. Yeah. Nazis weren't good. No. And Liverpool aren't in the right ear, mate.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, no one's going to go, oh, do you know what? John Barnes, what a legend. Love you, John, for that one. It's like, I don't get it. Seriously. It's amazing that he's done that. And, you know, I think there's probably loads of scousers now wishing that he hadn't, because it's not really helping their cause at all, really, especially when they're on this sort of PR offensive to make everyone like him.
Yeah. I've just Googled John Barnes and...
Don't do that.
That's never a good one. I've got a thread going somewhere. I might have to add to it.
Someone's just put Matt Letizia over John Barnes. Wow. Someone's put, please stop interviewing John Barnes.
It's that bad.
Never seen John Barnes make a valid point. Today's no different. What a clown. Yeah. Okay.
The thing is, like, Liverpool, like, there's other big, like, there's companies that are going to get away with this because of all the press, or everything's going on footballers right now. You know, there's a big thing about the wages and things at the minute, and saying Premier League football should be doing that and should be like, they're the ones that should be doing it. And it's not just them. It's other, you know, there's other big businesses and other big spenders and other people in the world that have got loads of money that should be putting towards this. But you can't defend him. You know, you can say...
Have you seen Cam Waters' his comment? Sorry, that just made
me... I've not seen it.
Really. He said, you've got to hold and give and do it at the right time.
Oh, he's something else, isn't he?
thank God for John Barnes to cheer us up during these dark times.
Has he been furloughed?
Probably, yeah.
Mate, he's off his rocker, isn't he? Honestly, that's quality. It's just
Luke saying, have you lost me? No, message was just asking me something, so I muted myself.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Still there. Maybe this will turn the attention away from Luke Shaw for a bit.
Yeah, has he come out and said scrap the season?
Yeah.
I don't see why that's controversial.
Well, but the headline that all the papers went with, Luke Shaw says, don't give Scousers the title. It was like proper clickbaity, like, you know, when he didn't say that at all. And then obviously Scouser Twitter's gone into action and started making horrible comments about his weight, which I'm just completely against.
Oh, Ryder. Anyone else anyone wants to talk about? Anyone else? Anyone crazier than John Barnes?
We were going to say Pogba's come out. There's been yeah, about Pogba
there was
today,
a Pogba thing on there for a change.
Ah, fuck transfers and fuck Pogba. I'm having a brew.
I was just going to go and add some of John Barnes thread.
Yeah, that's
give me some new material there. Bless him.
Right, we'll wrap it up there then. But if you're just doing nothing and you're just chilling at home, then our Instagram live or our Instagram even, I think the link is below. We have got our strength and conditioning coach from the football team, David, is going to be doing some sort of a workout. I have no idea how or why or what that's going to look like. But at 6 o'clock, if you want to go check us out on Instagram, he'll be going live and you can go and do it with him. I think you don't need any equipment. I think it's going to be like bodyweight squats, press ups, that sort of stuff. So if you want to try and keep fit, the plan is that's going to be every Monday at 6. So if you want to go and join in with him doing that, then crack on and go check it out. Otherwise, crack open a packet of biscuits and go watch the 15th episode of whatever you was watching on Netflix. No one's judging. Just watch it and don't fucking go out. Right. Happy, everyone?
Yeah.
Happy days, mate.
Right, before cheers, we mate. Do actually go, if you want to get involved and help keep the channel going over this absolute madness of a crisis that we've got going on, then there is also a link as well which says if you want extra perks and stuff, or if you just press the join button underneath and next to the subscribe button, then you can see what sort of memberships we've got going on Paddock. And we're up to like 60 members already, which is outrageous. And loads of people have come in on the top tier as well. Can I just say, you fucking maniacs from last week, we did a podcast last week where I was mentioning what's on it. Some fucking turd was like, they're giving away a United shirt from next season that's not even out yet. No, we're not.
No, we're not.
It's a Stretford Paddock away kit, you dick. How can I give away a United kit? Yeah. And why would I give away, like, look, just shut up, you fucking tune. Like the video, subscribe, go check the memberships out if you'd like, and I will see you guys in... I'm just trying to blag a bit of time here while I get the video ready for the ending. It's in a bit.
Nicely done.